Blackwater, The Wagner Group, Executive Outcomes, The Flying Tigers, The Swiss Guard, The White Company, The Knights Templar, The Varangian Guard, Clercus of Sparta, Pythagoras the Spartan, Mentor of Rhodes, Socrates of Achaea. The list is endless. Mercenaries, guns for hire, soldiers of fortune, private military companies, private security contractors, dirty deeds done not so dirt cheap. History is replete with privatized militaries. Call them what you want. They have been around for a very long time, and they are very likely not going away anytime soon. And like it or not, wars are good, very good, for business. Furthermore, history tells us that more people are enslaved and killed by such means as greed, corruption, oppression, and tyranny than by any other means. So choose the red pill, remove your blinders, all of them, and take a good sensory inventory of what you're being told and shown to believe. Because here we go. Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Oconus, The Contractor's Life. Talking from the relatively insulated and bucolic rural foothills of northwestern Washington State, I'm your host, Scott Dresser. Life as a private security contractor in a hostile or a war-torn zone, or, as some call it, an austere or a non-permissive environment. Well, it is a mixed bag of blessings. Some good and some not so good. All in all, though, private security contracting is much the same as life. It is what you make it. The MENA region, or the Middle East North Africa region. Lands of enchantment, lands of mystery, lands of the old ones and the ancient ones. Myths, legends, folklore, maybe. If you believe what you read in the ancient and the holy texts, then you know that it all centered around what we refer to as the MENA region. That's right, the Mediterranean. And you probably also know that to every legend or myth, there is a base of at least some truth.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to this episode of Oconus, The Contractor's Life. So, picking up where we left off in the previous episode, I think I mentioned something about going home on leave. It was coming up on Christmas time. So just a minute or two here to just kind of briefly clarify things. So at that time, we were still on the second campsite security manager. I won't say anything. I was going to mention a few derisive terms. But anyway, so he was still there. And, you know, prior to my taking off on what we would call rotation, my leave going home, you know, so things had kind of devolved between he and I, the site manager and I. I mean, we still talked, but we didn't go out of our way to go talk to the other person or anything else. So they had devolved. Things had kind of come together with me and the other guys, but then we're starting to devolve again. And why that was, I think, primarily was because of, as I've mentioned before, a number of the guys on that project that were part of the team for this just were not professionals. So regardless of what their background may or may not have been, regardless of what they may or may not have brought to the table, they were there, they were on the ground, and unless they said or did something egregiously stupid, the company wasn't going to give them their plane ticket home, or remove them from the project, transfer them somewhere else, or whatever the case may be, without good reason, good cause, because, well, like a lot of, when you're dealing with projects that are in security, but particularly in focus with what we're talking about. When you're dealing with security projects, OCONUS, or outside the continental U.S., there's a lot of expenses to be taken into account. And oftentimes, especially when it comes to government, as probably some of you are aware of, they require in the bidding process what they call a firm fixed bid. Okay, so you put in this bid, it's inflexible. Now, once in a while, usually on the larger ones, but I've seen it in some of the smaller ones. I've had one or two myself where things come up. You develop a good rapport with your POC or your point of contact. And, you know, things happen in life. And the government entity that you have this contract with will sometimes be amenable to amending or altering the contract so that you can get more money out of it. But frequently that is not the case. They ask for a firm fixed bid. That's what you gave them, you know. So that's kind of where we're at. So things have devolved again. I'm kind of looking forward to going home. Like I said, it's coming up on Christmas. And I mean, honestly, I don't remember what the date was. But when I got back, we were clearly in the wintertime there in Afghanistan. One of the mistakes, in hindsight, I kind of knew this. Like I said, the campsite security manager, the second guy, came in with he brought a dude with him. And he and I kind of got along. But there were a lot of telling things about a lot of these guys. They tipped their hat a lot, if you will. And so as I was getting ready to go, this campsite manager's friend, most of us are not unlike most people in this world. We like our downtime, and when you're in a high-stress environment, it's not uncommon to want something to help you kind of calm down a little bit and be able to sleep and wake up the next day and feel refreshed. So, it wasn't an uncommon thing to have a drink or two at night, whether it was a stiff drink or whatever. And how you got it and where you got it, let your imagination run wild, okay? There is no shortage of ways to get stuff that you need, no matter where you are. So as I've said before in previous seasons and episodes, I mean, if you got the money, you can pretty much get anything you want. And if you got the contacts. And sometimes it just comes down to how you approach a person. So I told this guy, because a number of these guys I knew were getting together after work, after their shift, whatever, and they were congregating here and there, and they were having, private little parties that were exclusive parties, and who knows exactly what they were consuming beyond alcohol. and in hindsight, this probably, I think I knew it then, but, I didn't dwell on it, was probably spoke to some of their behaviors. Anyway, so I told this guy, I said, on my way back, I knew how I could get some alcohol into the country, bypass this and bypass that. And he said he'd pay for whatever he wanted. Okay, cool, whatever. So I go home and, I was home 30 days, 35 days, whatever it was. Come back and sure enough, I brought, I won't go into it, but I brought in a number of bottles that were for me. I didn't plan on sharing with anybody because I wasn't sure that this guy wasn't an enemy agent or double spy, whatever you want to call it. So I get back and he brings it up and I, kind of pass it off and, just kind of blow it off. At one point, I don't know, 2 or 3 days later, after I've got back, I invite him to my room. We have a sit down chat. I pour a couple drinks for him. Against what I didn't want to do, I ended up selling him one of the bottles. Fine, here you go. Here's the one we've been drinking out of here. You can have it. Give me, I don't remember, whatever I asked for it, 20 or 30 bucks, whatever it was. And, of course, he asked me how I got it in, and I wouldn't tell him because it was like that was a clear red flag, which clearly at that point indicated to me this guy is setting me up. Who knows what he and the other guys have been talking about. Also, when I got back, what I noticed when I got back in my room prior to he and I sitting down in my room and drinking was that I had zip tied a number of drawers and shelving closets together because I knew I was coming back. So, you know, sometimes when you go home on rotation, if for any number of reasons, you know, you know there's problems with the contract, you know it may not stick around, you may jump and go with another company while you're on leave. I mean, there are reasons why sometimes I and guys I knew would take everything we had and take it home with us. But this time I didn't. I knew I was coming back. I didn't know that my room was going to be lent out to somebody for the 30-some days that I was gone. I come back, and a couple of them have been broken. You know, so I had taken all the things that I had considered valuables and stuffed them in these areas and zip-tied them. A couple of them were broke open. I checked everything. Everything appeared to be unmolested. Nothing was missing. Doesn't mean that they didn't look at it and do whatever they did with it, but everything was put back in its proper place. There were a couple that were where the zip ties had not been disturbed. If they had, the person went out and got the exact length and style and color of zip tie that I had and re-zipped it exactly in the same fashion I had. Anyway, but, you know, and then I had a coffee maker in my room. I noticed that somebody obviously had made coffee for themselves because they left the remains in the basket. It's like, oh, thank you very much. So, you know, there were some things that, you know, and nobody knew, apparently, when I asked, nobody knew who had stayed in my room. I'm like, okay, whatever. So that either somebody didn't stay in the room or somebody had gotten access to my room because we knew the people that had keys for everything. But here nor there, had the conversation with the dude. And it's like, okay, so I knew that this was, again, another guy I couldn't trust. So now we're talking about the trust factor. And I knew at that point that there was probably only one guy that was part of our team that was employed by the company there on that project, arguably a second dude that I could trust. And that was, you know, one guy, that I knew I could trust, the other guy, 50-50. He was an MP, and he was kind of squirrely, and you know, that was his background, was an MP. But he's kind of squirrely, and sometimes never knew for sure where the guy was coming from. So anyway, we're there on the ground, and then I notice at work where we're working on this project that similar things were going on there in that trailer. You know, like I arrive and somebody had used the coffee and left things out, left things open, and left coffee remains in the basket. And I'm like, come on, guys. You know, I've told you before, I don't care if you guys use this stuff, but can you at least chip in 25 cents for the coffee and clean up after yourself when you're done? You know, people tried to blow it off. Nobody wanted to admit who did it. You know, so there were just a lot of those little things going on. Eventually what happened, and to this day, I don't know if it was client driven in part or wholly or somewhere in between, or if the client even had anything to do with it. But, you know, as I've said before, and it's true that people talk. So people are always looking, people are always listening, even if you don't think so. I mean, it's a rare moment unless you are out there by yourself, right? So eventually this dude, so we're in the winter on the other side of the year, and this dude and his friend, you know, they go somewhere else. Now, word had it that they went and got on a different project, but guys were also saying that, yeah, one did, but the other one went home, and then other guys were saying, well, no, they both went home. But nobody knew for sure exactly, at least nobody wanted to indicate or say what the exact reasons were for them leaving rather abruptly. But again, I get a little ahead of myself, because as this thing progresses and we're going on, I get to a point Well, actually, even before I get that far into it. So the winter, on the other side of the year in the winter, I mean, that was a kind of an interesting time. And that was the time that kind of solidified in my mind that I was somewhere between let's stay the course, let's stay with the company and the project and see where this goes, and taking offers to go on different things. So primarily what had happened is these guys had all sided and colluded with the site security manager and his friend. And they were, you know, taking turns working the day shift and the middle of the day and one thing another. And I volunteered to do the night shift. I wanted to get away from these guys. I didn't want to be part of their drama and their plotting and their scheming and everything else that they were doing. So I said, fine, I'll work the night shift. And I don't know how this works. Maybe it's Murphy's Law, but some of the machinery frequently, not always, but frequently broke down, you know, middle of the night, somewhere between 1 a.m. and 3 a.m. When that happens, there's no lights, there's no heat, there's no nothing. And the first time or two of that happened, I just sucked it up and went, okay, whatever, I can deal with it. I've got cold weather gear. So I did whatever I had to do. And I don't know, somewhere around the first week or so, it got back to the primary dude that was the client entity. And he gave me his phone number, said, hey, if this ever happens again, call me, let me know. I'll get somebody out there within an hour at the most. And we talked about that. And he said, yeah. He says, whatever time. I said, so 1 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock? He goes, yeah, whatever. Okay. So I did. And, of course, you know, it may have just been because I disturbed him one time earlier in the morning, you know, and he's groggy. But I thought, well, you know, maybe I should find a different way. But he did. He sent somebody out. It took this guy, I don't know, 45 minutes, an hour, whatever, to get all this stuff taken care of. And then the power came back on. So, you know, that happened a number of times. Why the equipment would fail, who knows? Whether it ran out of fuel or there was a hardware problem or a combination of, who knows? But there was a part of me that thought, you know what? It's probably these guys, the other guys, that are doing some shifty stuff and saying, hey, let's mofo this dude. So I had a number of those instances, but it's like, whatever, out of sight, out of mind. These guys aren't around me. I don't got to deal with their bullshit and their drama. I'm doing my job, and I get to go back to my room. I don't got to be around these idiots. You know, I come and go, do my own thing, do my workout, go get food, whatever. So for me, it was nice. I really enjoyed it. So this went on. We got through the winter for the most part. We're in the spring thaw now. And I don't know. So we're somewhere March-ish, somewhere in the month of March, maybe April. And I'm coming up on another leave time rotation. It may have even been May or June. I just don't remember. Somewhere between March and June. So I get to go home again. And this is where I kind of had my final blowout with the site security manager. And I will say that when I did come back, because I think I went home, it was roughly 60 days, and everybody thought I wasn't coming back. They thought that the site security manager had done me in. He hadn't. HQ knew better. Like I kind of hinted before in the previous episode, these guys... It doesn't happen with every company, but typically when you're working in an Oconus environment, the guys that are in the management, the headshed, HQ, whatever, they're usually pretty savvy. They've been around. They're experienced. And they kind of know how things work, and they know how things shouldn't work. And especially when they send somebody out there on the ground and they have a conversation with you, it doesn't take long for them to really figure everything out, go back and report and say, yep, okay. So we're at that point. I'm coming up on my second leave, and things had devolved to the point where I had nothing to do with any of these guys. I didn't know who I could and couldn't trust at this point. So I'm trying to make my way. I had a scheduled early morning departure where I'd get on the bus. I don't know why I had to get on the bus, because I was flying out of the place that we're on. It's like, I can just walk there. It's not a big deal. But you got to take the bus, and then you get on the plane, and you take that charter flight to Dubai out of Afghanistan. You go to Dubai, and, you know. But so to get from my room to the where I needed to go for the bus, is like, I could walk there, but I would have had to leave very early in the morning. Long story short, I had to go behind a lot of people's backs and do some skullduggery stuff to get the vehicle to get to where I needed to be, because where we were working was like a hop, skip, and a jump from where I needed to be, so I could walk there. But the guy said no, they wanted to drive me there. Okay. So I had to go behind everybody's back because the site security manager was gunning for me. He did not want me to get there. And there's a thing called CAC. Some call it a CAC card or common access card. Okay. And every contractor has one of these. And your CAC card and your LOA or your letter of authorization, basically, you know, when people look at it, it tells them everything they need to know about, you know, just how important you may or may not be to this project, that company, or anybody else on the planet. So my CAC card had a few things that these guys didn't. My LOA had a few things that theirs didn't. Long story short, he was trying to keep me from get there. He wanted my CAC card, and he was using the cover story that HQ asked him to take my CAC card from me. I'm like, so I had managed surreptitiously to get to where I needed to be at this bus transfer place. As I'm in line, I had got word that he had found out what was going on, and he was headed there, and I was like, ah, shit, whatever. So I won't go into great detail, but there was a point at which when he caught up to me, because, you know, he weaved his way through the line, and, you know, because he thought he was Mr. Important, and we got into a little argument, and the guys in the line that were part of the company that was checking everybody through, they were basically on my side, primarily because this guy was being obstinate, he was causing trouble, and he was making a lot of noise. And I was arguing with them, you know, I don't remember what I said, but I said something, again, kind of like when he and I had it out at his office, you know, where he tried to posture up, and that's when everybody jumped in and said no. And at one point, I said, you know what? Fine. I pulled it out. You want this? Here you go. Because we had already gone back and forth about, no, it's not theirs. It's mine. I went and got it. It is issued to me. It is mine. If they want it, tell them to come get it, okay? Or show me a clear reason why in writing why they need it, okay? But otherwise, they still don't, okay? That was issued to me by the Defense Department, Pentagon, whoever you want to say, that's mine, not theirs, not yours. They don't have access to it. They can't have it. The Army might be able to come take it with official representation, okay, MPs and the rest, but otherwise, no. But long story short, you know, we were having it out there, and he was creating a big commotion there, and it's like, I don't need this. I don't want it. Here you go. Great. And so I finished my thing. I go out, get on the bus, get to the plane, charter, go to Dubai. From there, you know, make my way home. I'm home, and I'm thinking, you know what? Thank God I'm home. I'm so sick and tired of this bullshit. If I got to go back to this again, I don't want to be any part of it. Well, things worked out, and I'll go into those in detail as much as I can, as best as I can recollect. In the next episode. So for this one, let's put a wrap on it for now. And I will end it by saying thank you, everyone, for taking time out of your day, afternoon, or evening to listen to me talk about private security contracting overseas, as well as, occasionally, some of my experiences as a private security contractor here in the States. I want to thank my family, my wife, my friends, and all the people, male and female, who have been and still are a part of my life. And remember, folks, it takes a team. The grass is not always greener on the other side. Be careful what you wish for. You might just get it. Stay humble, stay safe, and keep others safe by being aware and staying frosty. And until next time, keep it real.
Oconus the Contractor's Life extends a special thank you to music composer Kava Cohen and to Colin Perry of Ninja Tracks for allowing Oconus the Contractor's Life the use of Kava's song, Heavy Clutch, from the music soundtrack to the game Forza Motorsport 7. And also, a big thank you to Andres Rodriguez, who can be found at the Fiverr website for his excellent original music scores.